You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Melody Fox. Alan Cardoza is off today celebrating a birthday, and I think it is very important to take some time to celebrate your existence here on Earth, if not on a daily basis, at least once a year. So, Alan, happy birthday to you, and I know you'll be rejoining us next week for more Answers of the Family, as each week we will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy. Now, with having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, we have both been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields, and some truly entertaining and innovative authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. We will continue to bring some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring to you Answers for the Family. Now, our guest today is Lee Gerdes. He is an author of Limitless You, Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain, which sounds absolutely fascinating to me. And Lee is also the founder of Brain State Technologies. Now, Lee was moved to write the book and start the company because he believes that people will be more compassionate with one another when they understand that our brain drives our behavior, and that traumas to the brain, body, or emotion can negatively alter brain patterns, causing us to behave in ways we would rather not. So, Lee, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I'm excited about talking about the benefits of having a balanced brain today.
Yeah, you know, if I would have anything that would be basic, I think, to well-being, it's a balanced brain. So, yeah, it's really exciting to talk about.
Yeah, well, I think it's really fascinating. And I love the title of your book, Limitless You, and just as starters. So I'm just, is that inferring that our brain is the only thing that holds us back?
I think it is. And it's also what pushes us forward. So it depends if we're looking at the negative or the positive of it. But the positive is way higher than the negative.
Mm-hmm.
However, we can't experience that if we're not functioning on sort of all cylinders, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by a balanced brain then?
Well, that means that the left side and the right side in complementary brain lobes are functioning relatively well together.
Mm-hmm.
They're dancing like a couple would dance on the dance floor. And one foot goes, the right foot of one goes one way and the left foot of the other, goes the same direction, sort of. It's a dance. It's mm-hmm. called neural oscillations, but that's another word for the dance. Mm-hmm. So it's left to right and then front to back. And when there's a trauma, the brain kicks into its own, its own world of trying to sustain itself, trying to protect the being,
mm-hmm.
because its major job is to keep us alive, and that's pretty important.
I would think so.
Yep. And so, when we have a trauma, regardless of whether it's a physical trauma, a car accident, an exploded device for a soldier, or whether it's a emotional trauma, a major breakup or loss of a loved one, those are still all traumas, and the brain works in a specific way and flips into a specific action in order to help us sustain that time.
Well, that's really interesting that you put the emotional trauma right up there with body trauma.
It's actually probably a little bit more important for females, actually, even it might be more important for females than physical. Females, you know, you all have an ability to. I laugh because I get in trouble with my guy friends when I do this. But you all have an ability to multitask better than we.
Yes, we do.
You have a corp. Yeah, you already know that. You didn't even need to know the anatomy of it. You already knew it, right? But you have a corpus callosum, a midline of the brain that's more permeable. You can send messages from left to right and right to left faster than we can as males. Mm-hmm. And that's the good news for you. The bad news is when you have a trauma, and usually then that emotional trauma is taking place much more on one side than the other. But when that trauma hits you, you also share it on both sides more readily. And so when we see soldiers, for example, we worked with about 800 soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's our way of sort of paying back. You know, they've had traumatic brain injury. They've also had PTSD and or PTSD. But when we worked with soldiers, we saw that females were taking much longer because the degree of imbalance was greater in general. And so males would require about 12 sessions of intervention. Females would require, you know, about 20 to 23.
That's almost twice as long.
Yeah, it's about twice. And the corpus callosum for the female is about twice as permeable. So that makes exact sense. Department of Defense, you know, did a big study confirmed that our result, anyway, what we saw, they saying that females come back from battlefield two to three times more likely to have psychological problems than males, and that's why. You know, we've evolved as gender, and we've evolved more as warrior, and so. The males have, I mean, which means that, you know, that's why they have done that, and that's part of the whole evolutionary process. It's going to be interesting if we stick around for in another dimension, of course, for another 1,000 years to see how these genders will evolve now.
Well, as you're talking about all this, I'm thinking about the women soldiers and the few that I've met that have come back and try to take on their roles like as if nothing else is going on and doing their multitasking of everything and then minimizing all the emotional trauma that they had experienced or witnessed over there. And you know, I think it's great to be able to come back and jump right in and be with your family, but also if you don't take care of these other issues, how does that affect the brain in the long run?
Well, it affects us dramatically. We can't help but have physical as well as psychological and emotional repercussions of that, which will, in fact, compromise life over time and probably to a greater degree over time. So it's terribly important to take care of oneself, regardless if you're coming back from a war or if you're getting through an emotional time or breakup of some kind in a relationship. It's terribly important to take care of yourself.
Yeah. So what happens when someone's brain is imbalanced?
Well, let's say that there was a big explosion in the studio that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. What your brain would do is it would sort of go into a duck and cover mode. You know, it would, you physically would probably, arms would cover yourself, you know, and you would go into an immediate freeze response. At the same time you do that, what's interesting is blood is reduced from your extremities because your body is prepared to have for an attack. So it's prepared to have, you know, something ripped off effectively, right? Like evolution in 1,000 years ago or whatever, you were dealing with a few thousand years ago, you were dealing with an animal that might be attacking and therefore ripping off an extremity. And so that's the kind of thing that the body naturally does based on what it's told to do from the brain. Mm-hmm. And the brain will respond very, very quickly, by the way, within a tenth of a second, half of a second, at very, very most. It's already responded. So your heart rate goes down, the blood is retracted from your extremities, and you're covering yourself in a tight way. Mm-hmm. Now, emotionally, you might experience a very similar thing, actually, if let's say that there was somebody you loved who died. You may find exactly the same experience or similar experience. You want to cover yourself. You sort of want to go into a cave. Blood comes from your extremity. Hand and feet get cold easily. And your diet, you don't have an appetite. You lose your appetite. Other things. And that's all based on brain pattern. Mm-hmm. Now, that's important for the brain to do that at the time of the trauma. But it's not important. And it's very unhelpful if the brain continues that process for a long time. And so that's what we see when we measure a brain pattern, when we measure a functional pattern. We place sensors on the scalp, and we measure that pattern, and we'll see if it's stuck anywhere. And when we do, then we'll go back and we'll exchange some of those brain frequencies with sound frequencies in the middle of the frequency ranges, mm-hmm. and play that back to the person to allow resonance to happen and those brain oscillations to free up.
Okay, so is this similar to like low emission frequency work on the brain, or is this more intensive, which is what it sounds like, or how is it different, or how is it the same?
Is it similar to what was it?
Low emission frequency, where they're putting the electrodes on the brain and they're checking to see what areas are stimulated or understimulated. And if they're understimulated, they play frequencies to help pump up the volume, so to speak, to get them get them to kick in.
But that's an invasive process.
Okay, so how is this different?
Well, what we're doing is we're placing the sensor with the computer chip on it on the scalp, mm-hmm. and we're reading the brain pattern from the scalp, and there's no invasive process involved. And so all we're doing is looking at a brain pattern over time, mm-hmm. and seeing how it's functioning.
Yeah, that sounds really fascinating to me. And I've done the low emission frequency because I've had some brain trauma too, of horse incidences and car incidences, just a few little things through the years. So it just, anything to get the brain stimulated and back in balance, I think is wonderful.
And you're exactly right. It's the functional balance that the brain has that will guide us to behave, will guide us to perform the best we can behave and perform. So those things are correlated one-to-one. Mm-hmm. Balance and correlation of well-being and optimum performance are one-to-one.
So how would a person in the general public who thinks he could benefit from this, or he or she could benefit from this, or their children or themselves, what would they look for in themselves, and how would they look for you?
Well, first of all, they would look for, sleep is one of the key factors. I know it sounds kind of silly, but for optimum performance, sleep is truly the key factor.
Okay.
What science is finding now is that compromised sleep is part of, if not one of the critical reasons for various pathologies, because without the brain able to reset itself, in with good sleep patterns, mm-hmm. There will be issues that evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep is major. That's first. The second is another thing that we all say we want or strive for, and that's simply happiness or contentment. You know, do we feel peaceful, or are we anxious? Particularly, we all have difficult times in life, yeah? But the fact is, can we come, when we get through that time, does our system readjust? Mm-hmm. Are we able to find peace then still? Or do we carry that issue with us? Mm-hmm. If we carry the issue with us, I contend that it is not because we want to, and it is not because of the way we think or how we think. It is instead because of our brain that hasn't left the issue back there in our past. It's carrying it forward for us. And so we want to tell it to just knock it off, you know?
Isn't that simple to say, just knock it off?
And the question is, how are we going to do that?
Right.
And so one of the ways that we found to do it is brainwave optimization, where we can help people free their brain patterns and then make decisions going forward instead of having those decisions made for them by the brain.
Mm-hmm. Now, to step back a second here, you mentioned that sleep is a key factor, and we're talking about quality and quantity of sleep, and that it's not drug or alcohol-induced sleep. It's a natural sleep.
Yeah, that's not sleep.
you want the
that's called something else.
Yeah. Well, I just know that if you're taking things to help you sleep, your body cannot function its full sleep pattern, and because parts of it are cut off on the brain, and you need to be able to sleep naturally for the body to go through the physical healing process and the psychological healing process. So if you're taking drugs or alcohol to sleep, you're not getting, you feel like you slept, but you're not really getting quality sleep.
Yeah, I'm really thankful too that you pointed out alcohol was among those things, because, you know, we hear a lot of people say, well, I have to have a drink at night to go to sleep. And I think, well, you know, if you do have a drink at night, you may go to sleep, but your sleep pattern's already, it's already compromised.
Right.
Because alcohol does that. We accept it culturally, but it's not good. It's toxic. Mm-hmm. It's a toxin in it, and it, our bodies treat it that way, and certainly our brains treat it that way. Mm-hmm. It's not really good for us.
Right.
Go
ahead.
When we did an insomnia study, a clinical trial on insomnia, you know, that was one of the things we eliminated, is anybody using alcohol during the time of the clinical trial.
Well, I would think that would be a really big factor in that. And also, I was thinking, if the people are coming to you saying, you know, I have trouble sleeping and I feel like my brain needs to be optimized and do whatever it is that you do, one of the things that you would rule out is, have they been drinking or on a regular basis, or how have they been going to sleep?
Yeah, we don't rule that out. We ask them to cease and desist for the period of brainwave optimization, and then 3 weeks after. And we usually do, say, one session a day or 10 sessions or two sessions a day. So we cover 10 sessions in 5 to 10 days usually.
Wow.
And then it's pretty well done. We expect them to be able to sleep in a couple of days.
Well,
and then we want to strengthen those neural nets so that then they can move on from there. And certainly in the clinical trial that Wake Forest University School of Medicine did, that's what they saw too. We have about 8,000 clients now who have come to us or one of our offices because of sleep issues. And so we do have some data around that whole process. And it's terribly important for our well-being.
Now, you're talking about all these clients coming in. Now, what is your general client or the population that you're working with and helping with? I mean, do you work with babies on up to 120, or, you know, are there more specific age ranges that you see? And are there certain traumas that people have experienced that seem to come in more often than others?
We see a lot of anxiety. And with that, especially over the last couple of years, besides insomnia, we've seen a lot of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say it another way, it was probably lack of motivation. You know, they don't necessarily have self-harm in their makeup, but they do have the lack of wanting to maintain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just sort of down and out, if you will.
So they're emotionally numb.
Yes, yeah, emotionally and physically numb. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. We see it. We have a school where we teach our those people who license our technology, and in that school we bring clients who aren't able to pay full, you know, for their service.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps them, and it also helps our students. And we see a lot of people there in the last couple of years who have faced bankruptcies and other financial crises that they just didn't ever think they would face,
mm-hmm.
you know? And some of them are older, I mean, in their 50s. It's not just people in their 20s or 30s at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really rewarding to see those people start looking at possibilities as their brain changes, rather than letting their brain in effectively a state of response to trauma
mm-hmm.
Drive their life.
Sure. Now, where is the school located, and is it open to anybody? Can they self-refer? Do they have to have a doctor refer them to you, or how is that done?
They can self-refer, and they just call the office in Scottsdale to be on our client list for those classes.
And that's at Brain State Tech?
Yes, Brain State Technologies or brainstatetech.com can get you the phone and the address and et cetera.
Okay. Well, I just think it's such a wonderful resource, and if you're available to participate in helping the new practitioners learn how to do this, and you reap the benefits of it.
Yeah. And we have over 200 practitioners now, or licensees, in 19 countries.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a location site for offices mm-hmm. on our website as well.
Now, are there any downsides to doing brainwave optimization? I can't even say that.
Yeah, there could be some repercussions that a man by the name of Dr. Porges, who talks about polyvagal theory,
mm-hmm.
says that when our brain is stuck, especially if it's stuck in the parasympathetic or freeze response state, when it's freed, it moves like somebody was holding a swing with a child on it in one position.
Mm-hmm.
It moves, the child moves and feels free, and then the swing moves back towards the, you know,
mm-hmm.
it goes forward and back a little bit until it settles in the middle. So during the first few sessions, there are sometimes some anxiety, especially, or some dreaming usually,
mm-hmm.
Of things that have happened in the past where you hadn't thought about them or thought you had them well buried, which is actually a very funny joke for a geek, because we know a network never buries anything. It's always out there somewhere, you know. So once you free that brain pattern to oscillate fully, there can be some tension in the first few sessions.
Uh-huh.
That usually goes away in a matter of hours, and a matter of days at most. But that's the biggest negative.
Okay, so what is the process for going through brainwave optimization? I mean, how long does it take? You said like 2 or 3 times a day for 10 days?
Well, what usually happens is we usually do 10 sessions, and the sessions are about an hour and a half each. And sometimes those 10 sessions can be done in a week, 2 a day, or sometimes we extend it over 2 weeks, or if somebody's very vulnerable, it might be longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's say it's 10 sessions and it's two a day. The first step of the process is to do an assessment where all the lobes, the corresponding lobes of the brain are measured. They're measured under load. The client is asked to do something, repeat back numbers or read some material or, you know, look at something on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the client is asked to close their eyes and relax in looking at those same lobes. So we see how the brain moves from a state of quiet to a state of load or, you know, activity.
Mm-hmm.
Algorithms are applied to that data. We find out where the imbalances are, and then the technologist is directed by the computer to place sensors back on that particular client in these particular areas for so much time and for resonance of such and such a frequency group. All that's based on computer algorithm.
Hmm. I just find all this brain stuff fascinating. I was always told ever since I was a little girl that the brain is extremely powerful. We don't use all the energy in our brain. And, you know, if you think it, you could become it, you could create it. And it just seems, you know, all these years later that there's a lot of science backing all that now.
There is, and we know so much more, and we know so much more of how the brain's carrying things forward.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the cardiovascular system, we know that many times with people who have high blood pressure, for example, that's brain-driven, not heart-driven.
Mm-hmm.
We know that many times for people that have heart arrhythmias, that's brain-driven, you know, not in the cardiovascular system at all.
Hmm.
And so we know that many times when people have tremors, when they have low body temperature or when they have certain kinds of addictions, be that to sugar or food or be that to other substances, that's about brain imbalances and the person trying to balance that brain pattern in some way, use of a substance or use of a behavior, porn addiction, sexual addictions, those kinds of things are based on brain imbalances.
Wow. I never really thought of all those things, but that's really interesting. But we need to take a quick break. Our guest today is Lee Gerdes. He is the author of Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain, and the founder and CEO of Brain State Technologies. And we're talking today about the wonderful work that he's doing in helping people balance their brain. And we'll be back with more of him as we continue with Answers for the Family. Hang on.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back to more Answers for the Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Melody Fox. Alan Cardoza is off celebrating his birthday today, and he will be joining us again next week. And it's unfortunate because he's not here. He is missing a wonderful conversation with Lee Gerdes. He is the author of Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain. And he also is the founder and CEO of Brain State Technologies, which helps people balance their brain in a very interesting way. So welcome back, Lee.
Hi.
Hi. While we were in the commercial, I noticed I had a couple questions that from a couple listeners that emailed in, so I'm going to throw them at you and let you answer those real quick.
Okay.
Okay, one of them is, I am a nutritional consultant in Oregon with many clients who run to me after being told that diet may be the leading cause of emotional conditions, whether it is depression, anxiety, or ADHD. The first thing I state to them that diet may be a contributing factor, but more often or not, that these issues that they need to be addressed may be neurological conditions. So I was pleased to read about your work and will be requesting clients to look and comb through these approaches as they seek wellness. In that regard, how do you approach the topic of nutrition when you're dealing with a balanced brain?
Well, it is hoped that, you know, we only have a small piece of the pie, if you will. And the small piece of the pie we have is to enable the brain to function as best it can function. Now, if it's appropriately coached, then what it will do is do what my mother taught me, and most mothers have, a balanced diet, exercise. You know, we're talking about basic stuff for the basic things of well-being. Uh-huh. And if you don't have it, I'm telling you, you don't have it. So you have to have that balanced diet. You have to have that exercise. You have to. It's absolutely essential. And so the difference, though, is that when I'm amazed at the insight of this person that wrote in, because I believe they probably have they know more than they know they even know. But because, you know, most nutritionists wouldn't necessarily think about it that way. Mm-hmm. But let's take a simple craving issue. And there was an article in People magazine about Winona Judd, and she went public in People saying that she had lost some 55 pounds at the time or something because she had her brain optimized, which gave her the sort of motivation, right, to start eating healthier and to do various things, and it took away some cravings too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a hand-in-glove thing. It takes both.
Yeah, the body and the mind certainly work together. And I think your mom, at a very early age, put that in your brain that balance is important.
Yeah, she did. She still does. She's 102.
Oh, my goodness.
She takes care of her own home. She's had her brain optimized 3 times over the last 10 years and sharp as a tack. So, and still tells me what to do, for crying out loud.
You know, a mom is always going to be your mom, no matter how old you are.
Yeah, that's what she says. You've been talking to her, I can tell. So, it's fun, though. I so enjoy her. Yeah. And the insights, because, you know, she has a lot more points of reference than I do. Uh-huh. And societally, I think that's called wisdom, right?
I would like to think so.
Those points of reference. And here's the good news and the bad news of them. In a brain pattern, it means that there are more nodes firing potentially and can be brought into a decision more. So for a person with wisdom, with more wisdom, it requires potentially more time slightly to get through certain trauma imbalances.
Sure.
A younger person who will often get through those very, very quickly. Now, the medical doctor that works with us talks about his daughter, who was 17 months old at the time. She was way oversensitive, extremely oversensitive, and he then applied the sensors with her while she was sleeping at night with a set of headphones. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of nights only was able to, you know, reduce that sensitivity for her. And within 10 days after that, she was able to start talking.
Wow.
So, again, it's a matter of how that brain is stuck, if it is, and how we can enable it to start firing, to dance properly.
And that's what's so interesting about the brain, is because every brain is completely different. You don't know totally, what you're getting until you take a look at it.
Yeah, I know, and it's so much fun too for a geek, especially. I'm a pattern guy. I'm a data pattern guy. That's my background, and so if you look at something like Amazon and it says if you like this book, you'll also like these. Well, that's the company that I worked for previously, and we put together data patterns and algorithms to help do that.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm having the opportunity to do that, putting together data patterns for human beings,
mm-hmm.
not just what they buy, but actually how well they are. So, wow, what a great privilege this work is.
Well, that's wonderful. But able to use all your talents and abilities to really help humankind in a whole other way.
Yeah, it's fun too.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of fun.
Well, I have another question for you.
Okay.
My cousin broke her right leg last year in an auto accident, breaks in the thigh, knee, and ankle. I don't think any of us took it very seriously until 2 months ago when she came very close to a mental breakdown. The doctors told us that the pain alone was enough to emotionally devastate anyone. Does your treatment methodology cover emotional distress from injuries such as this?
Well, when we have an injury, our nerves fire, sending signals to the brain to tell the brain to take care of this area, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we have something terribly wrong here. That's called pain. And when that pain process goes on for a long time, like it would for potentially that person that was in the auto accident,
mm-hmm.
and had the severe leg damage, when that pain goes on for a long time, then that brain pattern can be set up to look for that pain. In other words, it can be oversensitized for that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's why it's helpful to get that brain balanced. Let me give you another example. We have soldiers that will come in, or people that will come in sometimes with phantom pain. In other words, the limb is already removed,
mm-hmm.
because of a severe accident, but they feel the pain there yet, right?
Right.
And generally for those people, given that they're not, if they're not on medication can change the picture some, but if the people are not on medication, we would expect to see that kind of phantom pain be alleviated very quickly. It just stops. When the brain's balanced, it just stops.
Because then the brain recognizes that there's nothing attached to that limb, because there is no limb anymore. They can recognize that it's not there.
Oh, the brain recognizes that it doesn't have to stay in the pattern that it was in.
Okay.
It doesn't really have anything to do with the limb. It has to do with the signals that it's received.
Mm-hmm.
It's received some extremely hot signals, right?
Right.
And in that, it's been very overactivated in one particular area,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't come back to a balanced state. And so what we do is we resonate with it in a middle range, frequency range, so that builds,
mm-hmm.
and as it builds, it comes back towards a balanced state.
Okay. Well, and I could see how beneficial that could be, and I'm just thinking of all the different areas and all the different populations that could benefit. It seems like there needs to be a lot more practitioners out in the world doing this.
Yeah, I think so too, and that's my hope before I die to, you know, and it looks like I have quite a few years left based on my mom. To see a lot more happening. We went to a medium security prison in Nevada,
uh-huh.
about 6 years ago. And when we went there, the inmates were shown a video of what brainwave optimization was. It was a medium security prison, so these were sort of the bad boys, if you know what I mean. They're staged for going to maximum security.
Uh-huh.
And so about 70 of the worst of the 750 were shown a video, and they were told that they could have the opportunity to have brainwave optimization. Here's what it did, And then they would have to sign up for it. They got nothing for it, except that they had to give up yard time. They have to get it. They had to give up free time, so they had something to give up. We expected, and the warden expected, and so did the director of corrections for the state of Nevada, expect to see maybe 3 to 5% of that population sign up to say, okay, I want to do it, okay?
Right.
We had 100% of those inmates sign up for it.
Wow.
All 70 signed up. So they had to pick the ones that we were going to work with, and then we worked with them over a three-week period. Now, when we did that, when we made an assessment for them, I would have thought going in that what we would have seen would be people that would be in a state of fight or flight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would be kind of onerous, if ornery, if you will. It was quite the opposite. They were over 250% into a freeze state. And we were all just amazed. Every prisoner, every inmate was the same. Now, that was not, that was a huge education for us, because we learned, as science has learned either before and after that point in time, that science has learned when we're too frozen, then that means that we are separated from others and from ourselves. And that separation can cause us to do things that are seriously unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a basis potentially for self-harm, and it's the basis for harming other people. So when we worked with those inmates and their brains were balanced, they were all able to read. None of them could, they could read the words, but they couldn't answer simple questions from a third grade reader.
Mm-hmm.
6 years later, they are all through either completed college courses or into various different stages of college credits serve out the rest of their terms, which are longer.
So I'm just curious. So a lot of the people that perhaps ended up in prison, maybe at some point in their life, their brain got off balance for one reason or another, and it got stuck or frozen there.
We saw those freeze places in what we would deem early life stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all from fetus to, you know, the first year of life, actually.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting, and I think that's really important for parents to understand the importance of having helmets on your kids when they're on the back of your bicycle, protecting their heads to prevent from trauma, help prevent and provide a safe and nurturing environment so they don't get the emotional distress and that they could witness if parents are yelling and screaming and not providing a safe place for them at a very early age.
Yeah, and it's terribly important for us all to remember that the things that we do are not necessarily self-motivated at all.
Uh-huh.
They are usually motivated, if they're unhealthy things, by brain patterns that are imbalanced.
So
if we can incorporate that thought in our daily life,
mm-hmm.
then we can live being forgiving for ourselves and for others. And that's a huge step towards well-being, I think.
Right, because then you take it off of, I'm a horrible person. No, my brain's in balance and there's something off, but there are things I could do to help fix it, to find that balance, to find that harmony, to,
exactly.
to make it work together. Now, I know in your book
yep.
you talk about, you mentioned harmony as well as balance. Can you talk more about that?
Well, balance has to do with functional patterns left to right and front to back. And harmony has to do more with functional patterns from low-frequency ranges to high-frequency ranges in each specific area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way to apply algorithms to those functions to optimize them. So if a golfer, say, and we have a lot of golfers, if a golfer is just beginning his downswing, then his high frequencies need to dominate in a specific range.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's completed his swing, when he is approaching the ball, the last thing he needs is for those high frequencies to be dominating because he's going to be tight, which means he's going to probably miss the bloody ball altogether one way or the other. So how those patterns function are tremendously important for performance.
So are you saying that if I can get my brain in balance, I'll have a better golf swing?
Yep.
Oh, I like that. That'd be great.
Yep.
Now, are...
And depending on what your score is, I'd even bet you on how much we could take off your score.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'll come out for a trial. That sounds really interesting. Now, do you have some clinical trials going on right now?
Or any we do. Studies? We've completed a clinical trial on insomnia. Wake Forest University School of Medicine has completed a clinical trial on insomnia. Uh-huh. They are presenting that data next week at the International Sleep Conference in Boston, Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And we were amazed, as they were, frankly, that they were 100% successful in the test group to overcome insomnia. And then when they crossed over the control group from their standard care to test, and in other words, use brainwave optimization with them, they were 100% successful as well.
Wow. I know a lot of people that can use that.
Yeah, so that was very, very exciting time. And then they received funding to do other clinical trials. So there's one being completed now on migraines. And there's one scheduled for mild cognitive impairment. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
MCI is the forerunner condition or diagnosis for people who are likely to enter into the one of two next phases, being full-blown dementia or Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
That condition alone, if we do not find an intervention in this country of the United States that works, that condition in 20 years will bankrupt us nationally.
So it would
it's
be really
that,
important.
It's that dramatic.
It would be really important to be able to identify that and maybe reverse some of those or get the brain optimizing itself so it doesn't continue down that path.
Yeah, there is always the one side. You know, medical science heretofore has said that it's brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few of us, and I say very few in the world, that are holding out to say it's brain function.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the truth is someplace in between.
Okay. Right.
And I know that, so I'll give up ground pretty readily. But by the same token, function is hugely important.
Right.
And so, and I think if we can get people with functionally paying attention to the diet and exercise, those two things will be of tremendous help. And then if we can get those who find themselves slipping into brainwave optimization, I think I won't say eliminate it, but hugely reduce it.
Well, let me ask you one final question then. What would the world look like if more people were doing brainwave optimization?
We would be at peace.
That would be a lovely place to be, wouldn't it?
We would be at peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would really care about each other. And we would really care about well-being. And we would have fun competing, right? And instead of having to kill our opponent, we would enjoy them because we would have so much fun competing.
That sounds like a much happier place, almost like a utopia, if you would say.
I know. And if I think about, you know, when I think about the next life, that's what I'm envisioning.
Well, hopefully you'll live as long and longer than your mother, and you'll be able to bring this to the world, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. Because you're doing so much today, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
We're talking to Lee Gerdes. He is the author of Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain, and the founder and CEO of the Brain State Technologies, and a website for what he does and where you can find more information is www.brainstatetech.com. And thank you so much for being with us today, Lee. We really appreciated that. I find the brain extremely fascinating. And if you want to know more information, you always go to our website, www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. And we'll be back next week with more interesting guests to talk to on how to make our lives as parents and family members and those that we work with that much better. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.